Chapter 20. Bloodthorn. Geronimo, do they teach philosophy in the Schola Progenium?
And show us how to think for ourselves, Feth, no.
Is that how you do it? Is that how you pull the trigger on a misguided recruit?
The lesson we were taught was simple. There is one reality. Everyone fits or they don't. Don't ask me to explain it.
I'm sorry for bringing it up.
Don't be. I'm not the Emperor, and I certainly don't want to end up locked in a cybernetic box for all eternity. I only want to get us to the next war and put this one behind.
You think the next one will be any better?
If it replaces my present nightmares with new ones, I'm all for it.
Do me a favor.
Will it even the score between us?
Sure. Just don't shoot anyone until I get back. The stench of the rotting Felguard corpse led me to the exact location. Like an epitaph, the bloody Herald's trail spattered across the floor of Ground Zero from the point where I'd fallen. I traced the nearest dried puddle, one with a faded silver V transcribed in the middle, and pushed out a concise thought. 5. My telepathic skills were minimalistic at best, but the power behind the call would be sufficient.
Is that your mark?
The barrel of a weapon burrowed beneath my helmet, pressing into the back of my neck. I stared at the floor. Yes, but it's getting old.
What did you do to my city?
Your city? I wanted to laugh, but thought better of it. How's business, Francine? The husks of citizens still hung at most intersections around Ground Zero. The broad streets were passable if one's mind remained intact. I wasn't sure if my captor had succeeded in shielding her sanity, but it wouldn't make a difference.
It's tapered off. The bloods have left. The guard, too. Any idea why?
Somebody poisoned their well.
What are you doing?
Looking for someone that can lead me to the blood's lair in Quartus.
Why?
I'm tired of this war. Aren't you?
You don't seem tired, and you weren't wearing that uniform the last time we met. Who died and made you an officer?
I did. And speaking of uniforms, yours could use a burning. The Arbiters won't take you back?
Everyone else went rogue. Why should they care about a few inconvenient transactions?
I was surprised they hadn't executed the woman. Inconvenient like mine? The gun barrel dug deeper into my neck.
Watch it. The Bloods were paying top rates for marks like yours.
Marks? What marks?
Psyker marks.
Is that what I am?
I served in the Guard, and I've seen the savant stripes on your uniform before. We all learned to heed the maroon.
Francine wasn't heeding anything at the moment. I could feel the crackle and hum of her charge pack. The hell gun was tucked in close, as if she knew to get it under my shield. She hadn't found her way free at all. I leaned forward, shifting my weight onto my hands, asking, "Who do you serve?"
Maybe it's time you answered that question.
Look at the collar I'm wearing. I'm trying to claw my way free. Would you happen to know the way? As I spoke, I leached her weapon's charge pack dry. She'd seen militant savants before, but never tried to capture one alive. I gave her weapon a sharp telekinetic slap and twisted away as her laser gun discharged a weak bolt of light into my shield. As I stood and turned around, Francine slowly let go of her hell gun, leaving it dangling from the cable at her side. A step behind her, pressing a similar weapon into the bounty hunter's neck, Commander Olivia Preston took center stage. I kept my voice steady. Francine, have you met Commander Preston? She's the jealous type. I saw it happen, every last detail. Francine's shoulders slumped and her head sagged forward in resignation. The bluff lasted all of an instant as she shifted left and spun in a blur. I'd left her a knife as a peace offering on the first day we'd met. Francine had palmed it then, and she palmed it now. Her hand flew in an arc for Preston's side. Exposed by the raised weapon, there was a gap in the armor covering my bodyguard's armpit. Francine's head exploded as her body finished the turn, showering me with gore and a semi-used blast of energy. Preston's shot diverted the bounty hunter's momentum enough that the knife only managed a shallow slash across the bodyguard's skin. The blade tumbled into a long dead puddle, its owner doing the same. A small line of blood leaked from Preston's side. Adrenaline still flowed through both of us, and we took a moment to steady our breathing. Are you okay? I said.
It's only a scratch.
Olivia sounded more annoyed than hurt.
You think we'll run into more like her?
Why, was she your type? Olivia chuckled.
As a matter of fact, she was. Of course, she seemed taller when we first met.
They always do. It was about time to lose my vaunted bodyguard, and the shallow wound in her side was a good enough excuse. You know I can't resist a woman that bleeds for me. Why don't you get yourself sewn up, and I'll meet you back in the Tertius Underhive.
Where are you going?
I've got a rancid path to follow. I'm hoping it leads to the Bloodthorn's lair over in Quartus. Olivia had been with me every step of the way through Secundus, and it had cost her. I could see it in her eyes, and no amount of friendly banter was going to protect her. That she didn't tap out told me plenty about her resolve.
Five, you'll move faster with someone to watch your back.
Sure, but I'd rather be watching yours. The survivors of Gaul are running short on sanity these days. Olivia pointed her weapon at what was left of Francine.
Do you think I'm going to end up like her?
No, but I am, maybe even worse.
That still won't make you my type.
Olivia sighed.
You can't help but flirt with me, but I get it. You're scared.
My view of Olivia Preston clicked up another notch. She saw through the banter and laid bare the crux of my day. Witless, I said, but a good kind of witless.
Witless is never good in a place like this. When will you be back?
I brushed at a chunk of gray matter, smearing it daintily across my chest. Oh, so you miss me already? Doing her best to hide a smile, Olivia Preston knelt down and collected Francine's hellgun.
I didn't say that, but I'll make sure my laser packs are fully charged and ready for your return.
Okay, now who's flirting with whom? The service lift doors opened onto a vein leading straight into the heart of darkness. The lift car had been too small by half, and I staggered off wearing the Herald's dicey stench. Part man, part warp, part carcass. The bloody Herald boiled beneath the surface of its skin, sharing all aspects of its being in an unending shower of yuck. As if it knew I was coming round, the creature had been lurking on the southeastern edge of Tertius, calling out,
I know the way to freedom. Dare you follow me?
We both knew my answer to that. A stomach-curdling trek had ensued through another endless service duct, and I'd emerged into Hive Quartus, gathering up whatever was left of my senses.
This way.
It coughed, pointed, and shuffled off. My boots scraped at the decorated plascrete in the Herald's wake. The tunnel was doused in blood, old and new, and sigils covered every last inch of the floor, walls, and shadowy ceiling. The layers overran each other in a tangled, soul-capturing mess. To my left and right, side passages beckoned, offering me the unknown in exchange for the path I was on. The hallway ahead led into the courtyard of a sub-zero temple of the Ecclesiarchy. An immense warrior guarded the entrance, flush with an eye-popping cache of warp energy. Its colossal stack of armor was pocked with scratches, dents, and bloodstains. Its enormous claws sizzled with ozone and flecks of lightning, while its glowing red eyes scanned about like a sentry turret waiting for a target. The Bloody Herald struggled past the behemoth, ignoring the other's stare. Neither said a word in greeting. As I eased past the giant warrior, it stepped away from its post and followed us in. That alone kept me moving forward. Stacks of unclad bodies twitched to my left and right. The walls pulsed, threatening to cave in. In the far corners, cultists waited to serve. Don't look. A voice emerged from the far end of the temple hall, its hunger palpable.
Herald, you have brought me a gift. Which half shall I consume first?
Bloodthorn, it is not my place to decide.
Perhaps Ator will choose. He seems eager to meet our guest.
Master, I would suggest we leave it up to the Primaris. His name is Five, and his story is unique.
Seated high on a throne of darkest pain, the demon host tapped its chin with a single sharpened fingernail, offering a new set of colors for my reality. Lacking any hope, the Bloodthorn's palette painted a route from being to oblivion. The humanoid creature unfolded from its chair and stood, towering above us. It was gangly and drawn as if its physical body was being starved despite the constant feeding. Its chin was stained a rusty red. Its tongue darted in and out of existence, savoring the scene. It was a parasite, a vampire with an unrelenting hunger. I told you not to look. I could say that the Bloodthorn beckoned me like nothing I'd ever felt before, but that would be a lie. I've hungered and begged for my release. I've roared in search of my place in this universe. I've knelt beneath the stare of a goddess. I've stood at the door to oblivion and knocked, with monsters more than brethren there to greet me. A clear and present monster greeted me now. While I never once felt at one with its cause, we had plenty to share, each in our own way. It spoke first.
Primaris, I can sense your power and gratitude from here. You have met my kind before and endured their gifts. Are you ready to end your enslavement to the Emperor and join our cause?
I wouldn't endure its lies. I am anything but free, but neither are you. Cords of flesh held it in place, sharing the hive's lifeblood with the twisted creature like a possessed child, devilish yet docile inside its mother's womb.
I am Sarkis, a child of chaos. Nothing can contain me.
Our realities clashed on that point. I pointed out the obvious. That altar contains you. This hive contains you. This cluster of humanity. You rely on it as much as I rely on the Emperor to mark my way.
And who are you to decide my reality?
The gangly creature seemed amused, as if speaking to itself.
You seek to be something more than you are. For that alone, I could drink your soul dry.
You can drink a million souls and still thirst. Hive Tertius has fallen. So has Secundus. Quartus will be next, and with it you. Sarkis hissed with laughter.
Harold, you've brought me a seer.
Bloodthorn, he's a Primaris. He destroyed Lucien Kano.
And yet he's a slave.
Sarkis savored the word.
Kano thought to steal my throne. Why not you?
Your throne is nothing but a cage built to hold your power. The Bloodthorn seemed to consider its position as demon host.
So it is. Behind you stands Aitor the Bull, unleashed. His power is unmatched on the field of battle.
Slowly I turned. The warrior loomed one gigantic step behind me, and Aitor was anything but a doorman. Wider than any Adeptus Astartes I'd ever seen, the Champion of Chaos stood on hooves the size of liquor casks and wore enough rusty armor to plate an Imperial Guard Stormblade tank. The weighty suit was dented and scuffed. It lacked any sort of sheen denoting honor. Each massive arm ended in black metallic claws the length of my torso, and each sizzled with the power of a molecular disruptor. Aitor's chaotic mask topped everything with a pair of spear-like horns, each longer than my arm. There wasn't any need for the warrior to size me up, but it did. I stared back and realized the mask was real, as were the horns. The armor seemed part of the beast as well. Perhaps I should have bowed, but it was all I could do to... Aitor's clawed fists cleaved downward and across, intersecting my torso with a 1-2 combination that would have left any interloper in several easy pieces. I felt the tremendous blows. My war shield bucked and my head spun as silver energy countered the momentous attacks, but my unreal armor didn't crack beneath their weight. Aitor's strongest shots had failed to bring me down. Luckily, it had only been a test. I couldn't fight back until my deal with the Bloodthorn was complete. Sarkis surveyed the greeting and nodded his approval.
Primaris, Aitor and I each offer you our mark, but you can only choose one. What is your fate?
My fate had been chosen before I ever set foot on Aegea V. I was here to decide the Bloodthorn's fate. Sarkis, I will trade you mark for mark. I grasped my collar. Take this device in the exchange, or we will both remain as slaves. The druid Sarkis had been a seer. Holding one shard of the druid's soul, the Bloodthorn knew I spoke the truth. The gangly black presence seemed to spin in place for an instant, turning inside out twice, as if its reality changed to comply with my request. Sarkis finally nodded, its face a mirror of mine.
Aitor, you are dismissed. Collect our last rogue psyker and use it well.
The immortal champion walked out without a word, and I was sad to see the beast go. It was next on my list. Sarkis beckoned me forward.
You seek freedom where there is none, but in chaos you will find something more.
I seek only an even trade.
You shall have it.
With the heartfelt pleasantries out of the way, the vampire wrapped one long-fingered hand around my neck while its other grasped my control collar. With an unreal click, the hated collar appeared around the demon host's neck, and its warp mark appeared around mine. The heart of corruption took one final beat as its dark soul jumped, catching me like a dagger across the throat. To my left, the bloody herald bowed. A new reality settled into place, declaring the deal complete. No takebacks. The Bloodthorn hissed out its last spoken words.
It is done.
A blue-tinted cone snapped into place around me as the vampire's new necklace ignited and its old cage came apart. The Bloodthorn incarnate disintegrated along with its throne. Walls cracked. Low stacks of bodies and diamond-coated windows disappeared. All the attending acolytes and the bloody fething herald went with them. The Bloodthorn was dead. Long live the Bloodthorn. It slipped into my head.
Who do you serve?
The opening was meant to distract. Having made the jump to a new host, the Bloodthorn burrowed into my soul, searching for a seat in its new home. A phantom collar burned into my neck. Blood pulsed from my eyes. Lucien Kano sprang to mind, wearing a false mark on his face. It was all a sentimental taunt. I fired back, "What is your name?" That was my question going in. The beast roared,
"Sarkis."
Power exploded forth, carrying my mind for miles in every direction. Entire cities cringed as we crashed like waves through the Bloodthorn's domain. In no man's land northeast of Primus, a column of loyalist troops froze in their tracks, stunned by the surge of corruption that shook their world. Augur scans in orbit would be running wild, trying to track a new reality. Whoever pulled the trigger on my collar had to be wondering why the dark energy levels were surging in Gaul Quartus when they ought to have dropped to nothing. As the initial shockwave cleared, I gathered myself, banked on my reserves, and countered with Silver, calling a barrage of warp energy in upon us both and shifting the inner landscape over which we fought. Silver energy filled our shared cocoon and burned away the Bloodthorn's newly forming grip. That got the demon host's attention. Following my instincts, I pulled in soul-stunting doses from both of my arcs, amplifying their power and shunting the excess away to Starfire. The Hereticus collar had detonated. It wouldn't be long before our guard channels were cut. The move was also a dire message to those on the other end. I'd chosen my fate, and a desperate battle had begun. Whatever happened, the Black Flame Platoon wouldn't be surprised. Keeping the Shard of Sarkis at bay was a worthy tactic, but in a drawn-out pissing match, I'd never win. The Demon Host had three immense hive cities lined up behind it. Its curse enabled the broad, subtle flow of blood-red power and a slow turning of the mines around it. It was ready for a long-term duel while I was in it for a day. I roared, blaring out a psychic attack and flattening the will of the entity inside me. Where did Aitor go?
Aitor goes to set the portal and defend Tertius. It will be an incredible feast for us both.
I unmasked the tactical barrier that had kept me alive and scanned the room. The nexus of power was charred a uniform black. With little to sustain it, the fire in the cavernous room dwindled, while air handlers pulled the thick smoke out of the vacant upper windows. As the smoke cleared, I could see the doorway and a path to better air. I hardened my auric shield, dropped the conic telekine barrier completely, and made a run for the exit. Acolytes flooded into the corridor ahead, dropping to their knees at the sight of us. Murmurs of Sarkis chased me all the way to the sordid service lift. I didn't hesitate once I'd reached it. I spun and filled the long corridor with a torrent of silver-tinted lightning. In seconds, the cultists were in pieces, and the walls were doused in fresh offerings of blood. The pressure within me eased. The lift to Ground Zero gave me a minute to consider who'd made that last call. I figured it was a unanimous decision. Locked within me, the Bloodthorn couldn't escape, and neither could I. My silver energy was as toxic to the chaotic soul as its dark presence was to me. To fight it, I had finite energy reserves and a hard-hitting technique. I didn't plan on a long, drawn-out clash. I understood the demon host and what Sarkis expected to achieve in the end. On the other hand, it didn't know me or how to take control. It had never discerned my true intention, which was simply to sever its grasp on Gaul. In short, the beast had already lost. I wanted nothing from it. I'd agreed to its presence, but not its control. I'd never agreed to serve its ends, and my will barred the door shut whenever it knocked. My immediate goal was to get out of Quartus and deal with Aitor. Only then would I worry about my passenger. Upon reaching Sector 00, the middle ground of Quartus, I was met by more mutilations and stacks of rotting flesh. They were meant to drive the locals into a funk, but I'd lived within a soulless pit for months. I knew what hid behind those lifeless eyes. Hoping to pen me in, Sarkis put out a psychic call, drawing hordes of its followers. The telekine's barrier snapped back into place, creating a translucent wall around me. I couldn't risk the demon host luring in an acolyte and jumping free. As the surrounding crowd thickened, I knelt and traced a V on the plascrete floor. The use of my strategic reserves was another calculated risk, and I let loose a silver-throated roar. A wave of silvery energy sped outward for miles in every direction, skinning the beast and shredding thousands of cultists across the hive's centermost sector. In an instant, the horrific landscape was covered in ash. I spun in place, trying to sort the direction of Hive Tertius and the best way out. Normally, I'd know without a second thought, but tears were diluting the blood on my face, and sorrow was clouding my mind. Sarkis had decided to share. I had two choices, fight or flee. If I fled, the burden would only grow heavier until I broke. If I took the time to subdue the beast, I might win, but with every passing minute, Ator's run would be harder to stop. I couldn't do both and succeed at either. Wishing I could reach Keegan, I pulled on my arcs once more, and they weren't there. I'd been cut off. My outer cocoon dissolved, leaving only my skin-tight shield and Starfire's dwindling reserves. I'd marked the hive and felt it tremble. In desperation, I hunted the Bloodthorn across the ever-shrinking landscape of my soul. Cornering Sarkis, I speared it with a silver bolt, creating a permanent connection between us. Through it, everything in its domain became clear. Sarkis's reality became mine, whether I wanted to see it or not. The nearest walls gleamed with silver energy, my energy. I was bathed in it. Staring at the silver light, I filled my mind with its existence and paired it with a name. I marked the demon host, layering on silver energy in the shape of a simple glyph, writing it over and over in my mind. The Bloodthorn was pierced. It was painted. It was mine. My grip on the demon host became unbreakable. That was the deal we had brokered. That was an even trade. Silver was a dominant color. Given enough time, it could undo any curse. Unfortunately, Sarkis wasn't a spell. It was a creature of chaos with a devious intelligence and a hold on reality few could master. Through the mind of the demon host, I felt and saw an unreal storm brewing outside. Distant explosions were rocking the barrens to the northwest as a giant strode forth with a half-dead Psyker in its grasp. The champion of chaos held the rogue aloft and shook it like a broken doll, summoning a portal to life. My stomach buckled at the thought that I would end up the same. I raced outward, escaping Gaul IV as a storm thundered and flashed in the distance. The next battle for Gaul had already begun.